The Pentagon says the Chinese military threat is growing because China steals intellectual property from the United States in giant quantities. That's a given in this day and age. DOD's new congressional report on China details violations of copyright and export laws in the United States by Chinese intelligence programs stealing national security technology. Gordon Chang is a contributor at Forbes.com, writes their new Asia column, and is a recognized expert on Chinese military capabilities and intelligence. Gordon, thanks for being on the program this afternoon. Is there anything we can derive from this report from the Pentagon by what's not said or by what we read between the lines, Gordon?
This report is interesting because, unlike previous reports, this one has really zeroed in on China and has almost branded it an adversary. And this means that I think the gloves are off, which means that now people are really going to focus in on the Chinese cyber threat, which means that all sorts of networks are going to have to be strengthened, not just the ones at the Pentagon, not just the ones at defense contractors, but civilian networks as well, in companies and in utilities across the board. You go back 2 years, people were concerned about naming China out in the open. Now there isn't that hesitancy. So I think we're going to see much more effort to protect our networks.
When we couple this, Gordon, with the contentious encounter last time between the head of the PLA and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin Dempsey, they spoke together recently, and the comments were not nearly as diplomatic as we're used to seeing between two military leaders like that. Is it fair to derive, then, that we can expect this naming of names, essentially, to continue as far as U.S. government policy? And what does that mean for the defense contractor community that's trying to serve the United States government?
Well, I think this is actually going to get worse, because what we saw at the Shangri-La Dialogue, which is the Asian Security Forum that was held about a week ago, we had two Chinese flag officers, one of them going after Chuck Hagel, who also gave a speech there, and actually was very sort of corrosive in his terms, the deputy chief of staff. But especially there was another general there who openly mocked the United States by saying we had allies and we needed them because we were not capable on our own, and then going out and talking about the U.S. foreign policy as suffering from erectile dysfunction. This, I think, is going to get people upset and get them mad, get them on an emotional level, where the Chinese may not have done that in the past. And so I think you're going to see, especially over the next 6 months, next year, there's going to be a new focus on China, and that means we're going to have to start thinking about defending ourselves. A lot of people have not wanted to think about that. I think that we're actually going to start focusing in on this like a laser.
How much of that kind of rhetoric is directed intentionally at the White House and at the Pentagon, and how much of it is directed or intended for people inside China?
Well, I think much of it is directed for people inside China, but nonetheless, at a series of meetings that we've had with the Chinese recently, it's been very noticeable that the comments that are meant for publication have really been sort of polite on the Chinese side, but Chinese generals have been going off the range with unscripted remarks, which have actually been very, very unfriendly. And I think that this shows that the Chinese generals just can't help themselves. And I think to a certain extent what they're doing is they're saying to the United States, you're done, you're in terminal decline, you cannot oppose us. So I think that there's both directed to two audiences, one inside China, one to our flag officers.
How much, though, can a Chinese military officer go off the range, vary from the language of the party in China, and remain a Chinese military officer? I don't think if you go off the range too much, that's a way to achieve success.
No, it certainly is not. And I don't think that they really go off the range. I think what they do is oftentimes you see Chinese flag officers make comments which are really sort of meant to test the waters. Now, this general in Singapore who talked about erectile dysfunction, that's General Zhu Chonghu, who in 2005 talked about nuking the United States. Well, he didn't get disciplined. Matter of fact, he got promoted since 2005. And so clearly what we're talking about are our Chinese generals and admirals who are saying these things really at a top-down, directed fashion. So clearly These guys are not just mouthing off. These guys are reflecting what the People's Liberation Army wants us to hear and what the Politburo Standing Committee, which is the apex of political power in China, what they want us to hear.
Gordon Chang writes the New Asia column for Forbes.com, and that's why I think it's important to discern, to try to figure out how much of this is intended for an internal audience at the Gordon and how much is intended for an external audience, because as we determine that, it becomes easier, I think, for the Pentagon and the national security apparatus in the United States to figure out what the threat landscape really looks like.
Well, for instance, you know, these comments about erectile dysfunction, I think, were probably not directed from the top of the political system. I mean, they mean to mock us, but they don't mean us to mock us in those terms. However, we have to go back to last October when state media across a variety of platforms, including People's Daily, which is the flagship publication of the Chinese Communist Party, when they talked about Chinese submarines with ballistic missiles, with nuclear weapons, killing tens of millions of Americans in about 10 cities which were specified. This was clearly directed from the top of the political system. And so we have a Chinese political system and a Chinese military that are actively configuring their forces to fight us and which have branded us an adversary. Now, we have not branded them an adversary, and because we haven't done that, the Chinese think we're afraid of them. And because they think we're afraid of them, they're acting accordingly. So this is a very dangerous dynamic for us.
You mentioned the cybersecurity threat earlier, Gordon, and the people that I talk to in the defense industrial base tell me that the issue now is not so much inside DOD, although that's still an issue. It's not so much at the large prime contractors, although it's still an issue there. And it's not even an issue so much at the secondary level subcontractors or the smaller primes. The issue is when you go down the chain where you have companies of, you know, 1 to 500 people who generally don't focus on these kinds of issues, on major cybersecurity issues, and maybe who don't think that they have the kinds of budgets to be able to spend on cybersecurity defense infrastructures, where the Chinese hackers are finding much more success. I mean, they're finding essentially open pots.
Well, yes. I mean, among smaller U.S. companies, clearly it's open season. The Chinese really don't face very many obstacles. But nonetheless, the Chinese have been able to exfiltrate information out of very secure networks, or networks that we think are secure, and they've been able to do that consistently. So there is a problem even at the networks of the Defense Department itself and major defense contractors. So this is a problem that goes from the top to the bottom. Obviously, it's worse at the bottom, but nonetheless, there's a lot of work that still needs to be done at supposedly secure networks.
Gordon, we're removed now by several months from the Mandiant report on cybersecurity and that pinpointed the exact location even inside China where a lot of their governmental cyber attacks are coming from, at least. Do we have a sense in hindsight now as to the accuracy of that report and the kind of information that we learn from it and the implications that they have on especially national defense cybersecurity threats?
Yeah, I think that the Mandiant report, which focused in on the PLA unit 61398 in Shanghai, sort of shocked people. But since then, we've heard other people also focus in on that unit. So I think it's given credibility to the Mandiant report. And I think also the Chinese have been shocked at our capabilities. And so we're seeing much more public discussion about actually how good the U.S. is at this. And we are very good at it. But I think the problem at the end of the day is that it's very difficult to defend networks. And so we're having troubles ourselves. And we're going to continue to have these troubles. But I believe that essentially, you know, we're going to start to focus on this as a national objective. And when we do something like that, Americans are pretty good at these types of things.
That's where I wanted to finish up, Gordon, is we talk about this as though we're the innocent victim here. And I spoke, I guess it's been about 2 years now, with a former ODNI official and said, I can't imagine that we're only the recipient and that we're never the initiator of attacks like this. And as he said to me, that's not something I'm really even comfortable talking about, even though he was no longer employed at ODNI. He was nodding his head in agreement. I mean, this has been understood for a period of time now that we're not just sitting here with our hands up in the air going, gosh, we hope we can stop this somehow.
Yes, but there's very different, though, between Chinese attacks on the U.S. and U.S. probing of Chinese networks. So, for instance, we do not take information that we exfiltrate and give it, for instance, to General Motors or to other American corporates. And that's exactly what the Chinese do, and it's been a systematic effort over the course of decades. And the other thing is that we don't attack their institutions of a society like they attack the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, charities, foundations, and the rest of it. So there really is a difference between what we do and what they do. We need to focus in on that. We need to make sure the rest of the world understands it, and we need to get the Chinese to stop doing these other things, because if we don't, they are going to get at our business, when that really is the foundation of the strength of the American society.
Gordon, wonderful to have you on the program. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Gordon Chang is a contributor to Forbes.com, writes their new Asia column, and is a recognized expert on the Chinese military and intelligence operation. You can read the Pentagon's congressional report on Chinese modernization and militarization and hear the entire conversation with Gordon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon.